Yo, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Yes, back again.
Yes, we are, in all this heat.
Yes, and it's nasty-ass heat.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't given you guys a weather report in a while.
No, we haven't.
Because we were really grateful for that monsoon that we were in. So,
oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but as of right now, everything's back full throttle, and we're totally paying for it. So.
And it's still hot as fuck. Like, I'm tired of it being hot. Like, I'm over this shit.
Like, it was like real. My car registered at, like, 119, 120 yesterday.
God damn.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's we're not getting anything, any type of grace out here right now. So
no,
if you guys, for all my people that's in cooler temps, definitely going ahead and, you know, appreciate that.
No, yes, really, for real.
But in all this heat, what have you been having going on?
Man, nothing much. Just been kicking back, chilling with the family, you know, whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just all that good shit. Just gonna enjoy this 3-day weekend, you know. So
I definitely know. I too am very excited about this 3-day weekend right now.
No, yeah, because I just haven't been really just been doing a whole bunch of nothing. Yeah, still on the PS5.
Okay.
I got cussed out by a little kid the other day.
What happened with that?
That shit was funny.
Okay.
No,
what happened? Did you have to tell the kid, were you guys online? Like,
no, yeah, we was online. He was just mad because I was playing Call of Duty, had a kill streak, and I just kept killing him repeatedly. Uh-huh. You know, and little nigga said, I hope your mom dies a slow, painful death.
Oh, my goodness.
I started laughing. I was just like, all right, bro, be blessed. I was like, how old are you? Oh, I'm 13. I was like, yeah, it explains. He's like, stop fucking killing me. I'm sorry. What do you expect? I mean, this is Call of Duty. That's what's going to happen.
Well, maybe you shouldn't kill him.
Wrong.
No. Wrong. I know, and I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, I totally get that. It's just I get a little bit of the other side of it from when my son plays and the whole banding, you know, like getting your account banned and all of that kind of jazz. So I understand on how competitive that thing gets. I have a meme in my phone right now where the guy was, like, losing to a kid on Madden online or whatever, so he had to tell the kid that he was, like, 12.
Uh-huh.
He was like, I was getting my ass beat so bad, I had to tell the kid that I was 12 years old so that, you know, like, well, actually, no. I'm fumbling up the story. It was a grown man he was playing against, and then he had to tell the grown man that he was 12 years old. Because it's been beat so bad. Yeah, I had that one in my phone for a while, but it was just hilarious to me. And it kind of, you know, what you just said was a tad bit reminiscent of that in reverse.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely, though. But a lot of these gamer motherfuckers, especially these little kids, they take that shit serious. Like, really serious.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I ain't mad at it, though. I mean, they be playing, getting better. You know, we already talked about it. I'm all for it for the kids getting their money, getting their paper. But, hey. Some of these adults, hey, we trying to get this paper too. We can't let all y'all have all the fun and all the money. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. So I mean, shit, I get quite entertained like when a kid cuts me out or even a grown-ass man cuts me out. That shit is just funny to me.
I wish I too could take that. It's hard for me to accept any type of form of disrespect.
Why? It's funny though. Like it's
no.
Like,
don't get me wrong. Because it's like shit. You're gonna win every time. Like you, somebody mad and you're not mad. It's like oh, you mad? Ha ha. Like the laughter is like you're always gonna win with a laugh. You're always gonna win that way. It's just the point that it's like. So what if I am?
Like, but you know what though? You know what though? I do gotta give you your kudos because I'm a story time. It's a couple months back, anniversary of the podcast. At the podcast, we went to a hookah lounge with Chip. No, play Uno, gave her that fade, and she didn't trip. But I could see it in her face, like, oh yeah, nigga, I'm gonna get you next time when I see you, though. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she did take the L. So I mean,
I love how you just eloquently like slid that in there, and just so everybody knows, you know, I accepted it. You know, shout out to Robert, Rob Gardner, yes. Whatever.
And Art House Hookah Lounge.
Definitely showed us love that night.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But the deal with that was I just really didn't agree with these niggas' rules. It was like I had to pretty much argue about like not stacking and all that kind of deal.
That was Rob.
Yeah. But then hold on. So the deal is like, you know, when I'm playing Uno and shit, it's like, all right, you get down to your last card and you call the Uno before the next person, before they call their own Uno, you get it. They're like, no, the card got to touch the pile. Well, that defeats the whole fucking point. It's like, once you, like, no, if you don't get it, I know for a fact, me and my girls, like me, like anybody I play Uno with, you got to hide that last card so nobody is going ahead and call it out on you. So we did that. And then, you know what? That wasn't even my problem with that game, now that you mention it. My problem was, is what? That we've evolved past going through the stack and pulling until you get a color.
Oh, no, yeah, I hate that.
You niggas wanted to pull that color so bad. And I'm like, it's one and done. You pulled a one card.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's, okay. I'm with you on that. That so the keep next on time, pulling. I hate that.
So why did you want, like, where were you when the fat bitch jumped on me? Because it was like, well,
that
I guess,
wasn't me. That was, look, that was his place, okay, and that's his rules.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right, we were guessing his house rules. We were guessing his establishment. So I will, you know, Rob, if you're listening, yeah, that was ass. But yeah, I'm totally team one and done. Like,
oh no, yeah, absolutely.
Because I would have dusted. Did y'all for if it? You sit here acting. I can't believe he threw that out on the show. Like, I would have dusted you. I dust you on air. Like,
damn. All right, for real.
Yeah, dust bucket. Everybody already know like how passionate I get about Uno. Like, I got like I collect. I'm a collector. I just,
yeah, she do.
The way that your aunties and moms and everybody probably feel about spades and dominoes. That's how I feel about Uno.
And honestly, though, this may sound fucked up of me saying this, so, but yeah, I just want to keep playing a game with you and just keep beating you until you lose your shit and get mad.
Okay.
I just want to see you go there. Okay. Like, because for me, I'm sorry, I'm just that type of person. Like, when I see a person get mad and they're losing, that shit is hilarious to me.
I know that the cards can't always go, you know, my way, and hey, the sun has to shine. You know, every dog has a day.
Oh,
you know,
no, yeah, we're going everybody
at
it, do.
And I'm
everybody
not, you know, do. I'm not going there. But I'm just saying, like, as far as the strategy and everything, you're not gonna beat me that many times. So,
oh, okay,
yeah,
all
that's
right,
not gonna happen.
Well, we'll just see.
Yeah, we shall. I'll put money up the whole nine.
See why you gotta go there. See why you see,
because that's just like where my confidence is.
Oh my god!
I'm that person. Okay. When it comes to Uno, and I don't run away from those Uno fades. Don't matter.
All right. No, I got it. So yeah. Before we get into, you know, all the shit that went on, you know, this week and whatnot, though, but
right,
very very shout out, man, to Dave East, for real, man. It was already in the works from him speaking about it last year, though, but officially, as of last week, he had opened up his retail store in New York, and it's called From the Deli, you know? So, I mean, it's pretty dope. Him just really saying, lettering to Nipsey, I bought my first store today. You know what I'm saying? He was like, Nipsey, you laid the blueprint for everything that we did. And, you know, just pretty much being inspired by him. Just following his blueprint. And inside his store has his own clothing brand. You know, got the cannabis in there. You know, New York is easy enough on the cannabis law. So okay. That's pretty dope to allow him to have the cannabis and the papers and the wraps in his store. And his store is called From the Deli. And it is located, I want to say, yes, 124th, yeah, New York, New York. 124th Avenue, New York, New York. So it's pretty dope. He had a grand opening, ribbon bow cutting and everything. So, I mean, I'm excited for him. So, you know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So I mean, I love to see, you know, rappers thriving outside the music and, you know, creating their own business. And even though, like, there were rappers was doing it, but it wasn't rappers doing it on a level that how Nipsey doing it. But even after Nipsey's passing, we're seeing rappers like we just spoke about last week, Ellie Dollars, he has his own store in Houston. Mm-hmm. Currency, Jet Life, his clothing line, and want to go back out there because he got a burger spot out there called Nola Burger. Bun B with Trill Burgers, Joe have a sneaker store in New York. So I like seeing rappers thriving outside the artistry and outside the music. Oh yeah, too, Styles P with his juicery and smoothie joint out there in New York. And Styles P, stop fucking playing, bro. I'm gonna keep on pressing.
Yes,
bring it to the West Coast, man. Stop playing. We need one of those joints out here. I don't even care if you put it in California. I'll drive to California just to try that shit, though, but we need one on the West Coast. So it's very dope to see, you know, another rapper, you know, just opening up line of business. And just people just going in there and supporting. And looked at the prices, you know, of his clothing. Not too bad. You know what I'm saying? I'll spend the money, though. So, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I will be supporting Dave Easton.
I wouldn't be upset with one of these shirts, either from the Daily T-shirts. And like you said, it's just it's amazing that he's taking the time to, like, really pay attention. Because Dave has been one of the number one, like, supporters since the passing of Nip. And like, shortly after Nip passed, one of his main guys, you know, transitioned as well, Shooter. So it's really dope, like, as far as, like, within the store, the whole layout that he has in there, from what I've seen, also the murals that he has in there and paying tribute and homage, and just the fact that he has it in Harlem where he's from. So that's really sick. You can't do anything but salute that. And also, you know, like you said, as far as the whole moving from just doing rap, they just wrapped up on the Wu-Tang,
which is dropping episode season 3 will be dropping September 8th. So
that's
gonna be
bittersweet, because this is the last season. And for those that watch the show, you guys know how phenomenal it is and how pretty much essentially Dave was damn near born to play meth. So this is gonna be amazing. So Davey's really proud of everything he's doing out there, and yes, honorable mention for sure.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely, man. One of my favorite shows. So yeah, man. Dave, here at Lace Rhymes, you already know we give our people flowers, so we definitely salute you. All right, let's get into it. First up, Dr. Dre has been in the tabloids and a lot in the news lately, though, but on positive matters. So,
I like it.
We're starting off. First off, Dr. Dre credits the DLC convincing him to rap on the Chronic album with Snoop Doggy Dogg. And that was, you know what? It was very shocking to hear that, because we know Dre never looked at himself as a rapper to begin with, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in an interview he did with Dovet Quince on his podcast, he mentioned that he didn't originally plan on rapping anyway. And obviously he would have ended up lending his voice to, you know, to these joints that he already in the cut, that he was already making. But DLC really had talked him into doing it, where he said he was just going to lay back and produce, which was his idea for his solo album, though. But DLC was like, nah, man, you just got out of that deal, Ruthless, so I'm going to need for you to do something. And, you know, laying down tracks from Nothing But a G Thing, Let Me Ride, you know, and we could just keep on going. So Dre did. Thank you, DLC, for pushing him to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think if he didn't do it, Chronic would have sounded a lot different from what we enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
Now.
It would have been a completely different project. Yeah. So, you know, it's really dope when we're able to hear what actually went behind the whole creative process of the classics that we've learned to grow and love. And, you know, that's an amazing story. I never knew that DOC, like, one of the things, especially like getting more, and it's so refreshing to see DOC getting his flowers.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
Also, excited.
Absolutely.
I know his documentary, if it's not out already, it's on its way out.
It's on its way soon.
Speaking of releases, we finally got that We Cry Together also.
Oh, yes, and got some great news since we're talking about Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Just got confirmed, I want to say yesterday, Snoop Dogg said he's putting all the Death Row catalog back up in 30 days. So they took care of the business, everybody's getting paid, and we're all getting the Death Row catalog back on streaming networks. Ha ha!
Man, my man didn't even take a breath on that, and that's the best news I've heard in a very, very long time, Steven.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it first from you right now.
Oh my goodness, this is absolutely, and I'm so happy, right
in time for Libra season. Thank you, Snoop. All right, I knew you weren't going to let us down, Libra.
All right.
I feel that. No, that's dope, and that's really exciting, because it's like, you know, even when it comes down to our classic corners, it's just a little difficult doing those and, like, being able to, you know what would be so dope?
What?
And I'm just going to say this, but if we can get that Murder Was the Case.
Man, I want
because
that,
that wasn't yeah. there beforehand.
No, it wasn't. So above the rim was above the rim, gang related and gridlock. But yeah, I would love to have that.
Murder was the case.
I would,
and that
I, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I would love to have that murder.
I would
the case.
Love
yeah.
nothing more than to have to not go to YouTube to pull up.
Oh
know,
yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Fucking murder was the case. But definitely that's a huge win. Okay, oh, no, so yeah. they're just putting points on the board all the way around.
Oh no, yeah.
You know, like I said, DLC definitely happy. You know that they're coming forward. They're actually giving us these stories. It's really dope when we're able to hear what actually took place on the back end and, you know, who all had their hands in it, who was really in the field. But, you know, it's just all around wins. Like you said, Dre's been actually been in the news a lot lately. But for positive things, and these are the things that we like to hear and see, because it's like it seems like, especially in these times that everyone is so much, that like it's just so normal. It's normalized to be painted in bad news.
Right.
So for you know, Dre to be doing his thing, and you know, right now also like surely they just announced that Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, as well as 50 Cent have made history.
Yes.
They are officially Emmy winners. So
yes.
From their halftime performance, for those of you guys that are unfamiliar, you know, where we're going with this, but they have all received Emmys. One for Outstanding Variety Special, another for Outstanding Music Direction. Another for Outstanding Production Design for the Variety Special. So I think that is fantastic.
Oh,
this is
man.
Something that is so unheard of. And I know that, you know, the NFL as well as just I feel like it might be CBS. Yeah, like right. that actually broadcast the Super Bowl. I know that it was such a dicey situation just simply because of everyone coming at the whole aspect of it being gangster rap, it being
right.
LA, being Dr. Dre, Snoop coming out there, Crip walking, and having Stormy DeBarge doing the choreography for
right,
that.
I knew that
it was such a like dicey situation. And for them to go on ahead and still, you know, prevail over that, that just lets you know that the real will always be the real. So that's amazing. And the fact that, you know, they did it without the game, even though he felt like he should have been a part of it.
I love the game though, but I'm all like, nah, bro, you caused too much friction in your career.
And
that's why yeah,
like,
right, he probably would have just did This Is How We Do. Like,
and
really?
And he still didn't need a 50 for that.
Yeah.
Shit. Shut up, nigga.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he definitely would have, though. But, yeah, man, you know, West Coast winning. You know, West all day. All right. Moving
there
along.
There was some East victories in here. We leveled that thing
out,
baby.
No, yeah, we did. Moving on. JID reveals DiCaprio 3 will be a Gangsta Grillz mixtape. Yeah, and we will be reviewing this album later on through the show. Yeah, but JID, he shed a light on the new project, saying his next entry of his beloved DiCaprio series. According to him, DJ Drama is throwing a Gangsta Grillz label over it, and the rapper is looking to jack some beats. Me and Drama are really going to do it right, as he was telling Complex. I'm talking about other niggas' beats. Okay, I mean, you're getting the inspiration from Ice Cube, jacking the beats. I see it. I definitely see it, though. So, I mean, DiCaprio 3, I mean, I'm here for it. I actually liked it. The last one, DiCaprio 2, was phenomenal. The first one, I mean, it was to me. I mean, I wasn't feeling it like that, though. But, I mean, the second one, it definitely has showed growth. So, for him to do a part 3 and then, of course, grabbing DJ Drama, I mean, I'm not going to go into it like, you know, super well preconceived notion. So I mean, just gonna say, hope you deliver.
Oh, as we said last show, it's just really dope to also see Drama, you know, getting his followers and getting his dues.
Yes.
He's been doing it for a while. So JID, like, I'm more than certain that just about everyone that's probably listened to the pod is very, very familiar with JID. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, they're gonna definitely get familiar with JID before the end of the show. But coupling those two together, I know this is gonna be phenomenal.
Oh no, yeah, me too. Definitely gonna be phenomenal. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. So where will we be? We've given you guys just a little bit too much of the positivity.
Now it's time for the fuck shit.
Yes, it is. sadly.
Oh yes.
But giving grace.
No, yeah, giving grace my ass. Yeah, fuck that. Stacey Dash shares an emotional video after recently finding out that DMX had just passed over a year ago, and this is what she had to say in the video. This is just super wild on all boards, on all occasions. This was just super crazy.
It was just basically the whole tear filled, you know. Oh my God, I know I'm a little late, but if DMX, you know, pretty much like just announcing that she had found out that DMX passed a year ago.
Yes.
And it was so wild to us because she really still took that moment to like really make it about herself.
Oh, yes, like, yeah, absolutely.
I'm embarking. He let the, what was it? Not the devil win, but it was just like the addiction one and all of this and her crying on the camera. Honestly, I don't feel like anybody really needs to revisit and hear that, but it's just the point of like, you know, the fact that she came out there and she did that. It was just like so distasteful. Like, it was distasteful in one sense. And I do feel like there was maybe, just like I was saying earlier, giving Grace a little bit of possibly some type of form of sincerity there. But at the same time, that's something that you could have kept for yourself. Like, right. I'm a firm believer that if you crying on camera, ain't shit wrong with you. Like, if you go pick up that camera and you can sit there and, you know, record yourself crying and all of that kind of thing.
I need help to beat my meat paws.
Between that and fucking the most epic one is the Tyrese one. What more? Oh, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
It's the worst. It's like, Jody, if you don't wipe your damn face right now, it's like, oh my goodness.
Sit your black ass
down. It's like, I'm big on the fact of just like having those type of moments to yourself. And it's always okay to turn off the camera. It's always okay for you to go on ahead and talk with people, amongst your real support group. And it just like I was telling Steve, this just really like is just the final nail in the coffin of like, one thing, I was a tad bit envious because I was like, all right, well, shit, I aspire to be that disconnected at times, not from the culture, never from the culture, baby. But at the same time, I aspire to be that disconnected from the world, Craig, than fucking Stacey Dash, because at that time, she just really like, you don't got no group chats. That's just showing us you don't got no friends. You don't got no group chats.
Right.
Your own cousin didn't hit you up like, hey, Stace, DMX, Aeropass. Like, nobody fucking hit her up at all. Like, it was just so many buses that she missed. And it's like, it's just, to be that disconnected, it's like the ultimate, like, gift in the curse.
Really,
because it'd be a whole lot of fuck shit. There's a lot of things that I wish I could unhear. Yeah. Like, I wish I didn't have to, like, kind of, we got more stuff to talk about. But it's like, it's a lot of things that I'm kind of wish that I was disconnected from. But it's like, girl, you sat there and you took the time to make this whole ass video.
Right.
To go through the motions of posting this video. To get the soundtrack, too. The music behind it. The backtrack. Yeah. And put all this whole presentation and put this whole production together. And, like, you didn't think to go to Google and see that this man has passed over a year ago.
Right.
Like, go to hell, Stacey Dash. Like, the hell are you talking about? Like, what kind of shit is that? Like, that's just as crazy. It's, like, to the point of, like, you paying respect was so disrespectful in the same sense, because it's just showing how disconnected you are. It's like, what's next? Like, they're like, Stacey Dash, like, the Twitter was just going crazy.
Right. All I know is she was.
Like,
how I was feeling.
No,
like,
I'm already
wrong?
Knowing.
Like,
I'm knowing.
What's wrong with you?
But Black Twitter was going wild.
Oh, yeah,
they were like,
wait till
Stacey Dash finds out that Trump isn't president anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Wait till Stacey Dash. It was like my favorite one. They were like, also, like, they were like, Stacey Dash just wanted to show off her new skin.
Oh, yeah.
Because mommy sure has been over there bleaching. But also, the other one was, like, I feel like Jay Letterman right now, like David Letterman, like hitting the top three. The other one was the little baby, and she's like, oh, I sure enough, nobody sure enough to tell me anything about Earl passing. And then the one that the number one answer, the one of all of them, was the Future text.
Oh my God!
Yes, everything going, because you know they always used to see you can future text your way into anybody's life, like in a sense. All this going on with Stacey Dash right now made me think about how clueless I've been. She got my life. Like, you can always future text yourself like back into somebody's life, but. Yeah, nah, Stacey Dash, that's some fuck shit. You know, I hope, you know, kudos to you and your sobriety and whatever else you're going through. But, you know, going ahead and if you just stay where you've been.
Right,
like,
exactly. All right, moving on. Fat Joe. This one was kind of spicy, though.
Yeah,
so, I had to call a couple of OGs to get some digging in this one, though. But, I mean, Before I say my opinion, so I'm gonna tell y'all what happened. he got dragged for Twitter saying both Latinos and Black created hip hop. So he went on there saying that, you know, thank you for all the hip hop contributions and everything that he was saying. You know, he was like, I tell you, I never really fucked with Twitter, but to go on there to always see hating on me, he merely begins at the mark where he literally been talking about Latinos wasn't in hip hop. These guys are fucking delusional. We're from the Bronx where it was started. It's Latino and Black, half and half. I'm going to say that me because I was the only Spanish dude with a big voice like that. Fuck that. Latinos saying that that wasn't there, you wasn't invited as a specimen. I don't know what the fuck is up, but the people don't know their facts. And, you know, Black Twitter did come all around.
They just came like, in droves. Them niggas is ruthless.
Like, super ruthless, though. But it was just crazy to hear the one of the OGs that was there from the beginning, Grandmaster Caz, he had to say something about it. So, peep this.
Now, I recently heard some controversy going around on Twitter about a comment I made in a Vlad interview a few years back. Well, let me clear some shit up for
and
you.
And then
right
it circulated
now.
Up now with the
some
Joe.
Some of the first Latinos in hip hop were down with me. Disco Wiz, Charlie Chase, Joe Conzo, the man who took hip-hop's baby pictures, Prince Whip a Whip, okay? All Latinos, all part of my crew, okay? So there's no way that I could talk about there not being a Latino presence in the culture of hip-hop. Now, I've stuck my foot in my mouth a couple of times on Vlad interviews, and they probably caught an off, you know what I mean, comment or something like that. But let me clear that up. For all my brothers, my Latino brothers and sisters in hip-hop, I've been an advocate since day one. So knock the bullshit off. Peace.
And then
there you have it.
And then it didn't stop there. Legendary B-Boy, better known as Crazy Legs from Rocksteady Crew, pulled up an old flyer where he says, look at this, Charlie Chase walking around Puerto Rican in the 70s with a different crew. Before, we now known as the Cold Crush Brothers, and Grandmaster Caz was a part of the Cold Crush Brothers. Charlie Chase was already doing this thing with the Black people. So, I mean, for y'all, some of y'all, this just lets y'all know y'all disconnected with the fucking history. Y'all just want to go off of what's present as of right now. And I'm just going to say this because me having the B-Boy background and doing the knowledge and the history from it. Yes, B-Boys were in the first generation, but when the Black people died out in 73 and 74, the Latinos came and carried it on to the next generation, which was 75, 76, 77. And then that's when Black people started coming back around. So now you have the Blacks and the Latinos doing the hip hop culture together as a whole, as a unit, and as a one. So for y'all to say that Latinos didn't have a part, I mean, I gotta disagree. Like, that just lets me know, like, y'all don't do y'all history. It was a lot of writers, a lot of MCs. It just pretty much when it was in the origins, when it started, when they were around Kool Herc, Bambaataa, Flash, and all of them. So, I mean, for y'all to not to include them, that's wild. That's fucking wild.
Like you said, it's just definitely a heavy level of, you know, going back to just disconnection. And I feel as though that headlines like this is just really, they're really set up to splinter us.
Yeah, this is true. They're set up to splinter us more so in the sense that
as opposed to actually focusing on things that really matter on us, like having any type of form of unification, which, you know, that's something that kind of goes without saying. We've always been in the same sense of like kind of working together and just really like understanding that we're all united through struggle.
Yes,
we're all
absolutely
united through our circumstances.
Absolutely,
we're
yes
all united through just, you know, life as well as the culture and our environment. So when I come across headlines like this and all of that, where we got to come back and just kind of really bring ourselves down to even dissect stuff like this, it's just really disheartening because we should be so much further as a culture than to be sitting here and trying to like really dissect
trying to
that.
Convince
like trying to like, convince someone. So
like,
I like as with Fat Joe and everything, I can understand by him being Latino and everything, especially being from the Bronx, on him feeling the need to come up and, you know, to defend himself or defend his people. But at the same time, it's just like, it's real disheartening that we even have to come and visit these things in 2022. Man. It's almost like, it's exactly like with the whole Fred Hampton situation on understanding that it's so much more at stake. It's so much more, it's so much bigger than all of us. Like, Word to Dead Press is bigger than hip hop.
Right. Exactly.
It's the culture. Exactly. And for us to be sitting here and, no, you didn't put this in and this, this and that. Like, even like, let's take hip hop. Like, I'm not even going to say let's take hip hop off the table, but just for right now, for this example I'm about to give you, you got Hispanics, Latinos, you know, Cholos, you got these guys that knock our oldies, our fucking Miracles, our Smokey Robinson, our Motown, our stylistics, that knocks our oldies harder than we knock our oldies.
Yep.
Not we, because I knock oldies.
I'm saying,
you know, for the average, they're knocking these oldies. And like, if you go to like a Smokey Robinson concert right now, I promise you, predominantly that entire arena will be more so Mexicans than anything else. I love that fool. You know, like, they will be out there standing out there, like, I'm telling you, like, wholeheartedly. And even down to like last weekend, I went to the Blast concert. Like, it's just so many more. Like, it's just, you have to love those that love you.
Yep.
And it's just a sense of just really understanding that it's so much bigger than just what meets the eye.
Well,
because even down to like what Prodigy said on that Bumpy Johnson mixtape, he is like, he been to prison and he was looked out by more, you know, people that wasn't his race than that was actually his race. And not even like trying to splinter the conversation that way, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a certain code. It's those that respect the code. You know, hey, that's what it is. For those that don't, that don't. And that's the way it really has to be. Like, color and all that kind of shit, you know, like, it is what it is. But I'm just saying, we got to focus on who's actually really truly with us and who's really truly against us.
Don't
be distracted by the, you know, by the two.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. All right, last up, before we get into the latest report, Mr. Ye, better known as Kanye, you know what I'm saying,
all right,
sparks war with Gap over allegations of secret meetings and design thefts.
Yeah, this one was really spicy. Like I was just saying with the Stacey Dash situation, there's certain things that I wish that I could be disconnected from. This being one of them for sure. Like this whole, like, I ended up like, and it was unfortunate because I love Kanye West. I do. But it's like, you just know who's going to be a good follower and who's not going to be a good follower. You got to understand, like, at times, like, hey, do I just feed off of drama, or like, am I the drama? And I had to like come to the carpet with myself. I had to look at myself in the mirror and like, you know, decide that I want to like, I want to change my ways. I don't want this. I don't want to have these type of burdens. Like when I'm going down my damn timeline, my cousin and I, we were discussing like how social media is more or less like a minefield, how you could just wake up and go on there and just actually step somewhere and fucking step on a fucking bomb of just negative energy.
Right.
And it was just get hit. So it's like, you got to proceed with caution. So like the first step of that is like me cleaning up my timeline. So, you know, follow Kanye West, you know, follow was a damn sure, like, Steve, even if Steven wasn't really as, you know, if I was disrupting his peace by sending him some of this shit, I was like, man, you see what this nigga over here talking about? It was just day by day. And it started off with him actually going in on the Gap, on the fact that the Gap was allegedly, you know, taking some of his designs and, you know, redoing his designs and in all essence of cutting him out of the process to a certain extent. It's really difficult when you get these brands and you sign on to these brands and the brands now have the ownership of these said designs.
Right.
And now they can actually go on ahead and make these different replicas, because who's going to check me?
Right.
And then, you know, we're like, not. And then your fan base is pretty much like confused, so they're like thinking Gap, oh, this must be the Kanye West, or the same thing with the Adidas situation. They slide in those different replicas, and that's what ends up happening. But this is a catch 22. For one, it goes back to like that very simple sway, you don't have all the answers, that conversation. I feel as though that personally, just from me and understanding, just from my logic, I feel like if Kanye would have taken more time at that point in time to really hear where Sway was coming from, in the sense that man, you can do this yourself and you don't need all this extra stuff and all these collabs. This would have saved him a whole heartache because obviously this guy does not work well with others. Yeah, he cannot, really, you know, he doesn't. It's always somebody else's fault. Right. And we've watched, like, initially his whole, like, defense and everything was the fact of these fashion houses, you know, in Paris and everything, and the fact they don't want blacks a part of it and this, this, and that. But it's like, I don't want to sit at a table that I'm not welcomed at. So it's like, fuck them in that table. I'm going to go in there and create my own table. So that's where we have something like an Off-White. And, you know, we have the Telfars. And we have all these other, you know, creators. We got the Pierre Moss, like Pierre Moss. And basically, so on and so forth, it, you know, like of those that actually are, you know, not asking for the invitation and actually creating and building their own table. So with that one, I feel as though that if he would have just went on ahead and went off by himself, because ultimately, like, yeah, you have built these. Nobody wasn't really checking for Adidas before Kanye went over there. Like that degree, like his shoes were definitely the most sought after. And then also now with Gap. But here's the deal. If you wouldn't have asked and, you know, tried to, like, pretty much not have the confidence in yourself to just do it yourself at that time, we wouldn't be faced with these type of situations right now. So it's like, it's really difficult for me to, like, try to justify or to have any type of sympathy for what he's going through, because this is a situation that he's created himself not actually going out there and doing it himself. Because it's like, yeah, you know, maybe overnight you're not going to be just Balenciaga. However, what you could have done was create your own brand and then did these collaborations with these people to a certain extent while still maintaining your creative control. Because what's happening now is that, you know, you're coming into these companies and everything and throwing these tantrums and, oh, they taking meetings without me and this, this, and that. And they, like, sitting on the other side, like, who does this nigga think he is? Like, I don't have to run anything by you. Nigga, I'm Adidas. Like, you came to me. You came to eat off my plate. So it just kind of goes to that. And, I personally, like I said, I've definitely put, you know, a little bit of thought into this. And I've seen it, and I understand, like, the whole creativity and someone taking your style and taking your designs and the things that you work for. I understand that part, but it's like, these niggas wouldn't have never had your designs had you not put yourself in this position. And I don't know what you expect.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. I ain't got shit to say. So I mean, you said everything what I wanted to say. So I mean, nigga, get the shit together, bro. That's it. That's all I need. That's all I wanted to say. Get the shit together. Get it together. Get it together. Get it together. All right. Moving on. We got the last report. All right. First up, y'all kind of upset me with this one. Like, for real. Y'all really did. Did a poll. Everybody was on the cop side of this. So, and I get it. I understand. It's a Jordan 4 that the Thunders. We ain't seen them in a minute, though. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just all like, y'all really checking for these, and y'all just had some yellow joints not too long ago.
Oh, you was on a drop also?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you and I both. Bam, bam, bam. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, me too. Cause I was just there too. I was like, we just had those lightnings. And don't get me wrong, I understand the fact that these have that whole nostalgic value and, like, you know, 2006 right. or something. I'm not going to be upset with it, with anyone wearing these. However, when we get, like, just the fact of black and yellow Jordans, I'm kind of low-key exhausted a little bit on that colorway.
Right. Oh, yes, absolutely.
He does have some taxi ones coming out, and I'm not upset with those. And I actually did get those Pollen / Wu-Tang One Highs last year also, which are, you know, personal favorite. But for four, I was like, I said drop on that just simply because of, you know, more of the same of what you said. The fact that we did just get the lightnings, and the fact that I'm not really a huge fan of me being, you know, a lady, like a woman in the sense, like, I know I'm not trying, I'm saying that lightly because I know that there are women that do like black shoes, but I personally don't like predominantly black shoes on my feet.
Oh no, yeah, I do though. I like predominantly black shoes. But it just don't really depend.
Well, you're not a lady or a woman either, Steven. So I'm just saying, like.
I said me.
Okay. I'm just saying because I'm like.
Well, you know
like,
what? I'm going to buy you an all black shoe then just because you said that.
Oh. There's something else I'm going to get you too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care. We'll just go out together. We'll be looking weird together. Fuck it.
Nah, I'm going to get you some six rings.
Okay, you give me some six rings.
Nah, you know what, though? I'm going to get you some shoes. You know what? Just gonna honestly, look weird together. Ain't no joke worth no $180, though. So I'm going to just go ahead and say that shit. I'm going to say that I don't want to patronize those hoes in no way, shape, form, or fashion. So, like, for them to be 180, hell no. Like, it's something else. But I got you.
Oh, okay. All right. Back to this Jordan 4. You know, not to really get too much in it. Y'all see it. Y'all, you know, it's dressed in black and yellow with the white Jumpman logo on the black rubber. And, you know, going to be re-releasing as of next year, 2023. I've seen a lot of people say it will be a cop 78%. But me and Nikki personally, we said that shit was just a fucking drop to us. Like, sorry, but not sorry.
Absolutely not sorry at all about that. All
right. A question was posed to me before we get into this next sneaker. In my DM, and yes, I'm going to answer this one the same way. A lot of niggas was catching a slap for the six rings. A question was posed to me, and they said, "Would you date a chick and she had on some low top K-Swiss classics?" And you know what? The tennis joints. I'm not mad. It's more exceptional. That's more exceptional than the feelers, though.
Especially if they are clean. Yeah. Like, I don't, that's hell
exceptional.
No. Hell
no. That's exceptional. So, I'll take those over them nasty-ass feelers.
Absolutely. I'll take those over to, you know, that was your question. But speaking on behalf of the ladies over here, are really nice shoes. Those are really nice. Like, especially the classics, like, you know, the all-white joints. Like, those aren't bad, especially if you know what you're doing with them. Like, I remember, what was it, Vegas Shoe Plus?
Yeah. Yep. Hell yeah. In North Las Vegas.
Hell yeah. All the Donna dudes had those.
That was
their shoe spot. But at the same time, like, nothing was wrong with those, with the classics, the actual classics. I'll go on ahead and say that. But when we start getting into the K-Swiss Ripples and all that other shit or whatever, you know, that's a no-go. But the classics, yeah, those and the Reebok classics, right.
Okay, all right. Now I got a question to you. last two shoes on earth. And it's a guy that you dating. Reebok Classic or Nike Cortez?
I'm going Nike Cortez, personally. But I'm not upset with Reebok Classic either. Especially if they're clean. Like, clean shoes, like, I'm not opposed to that. Because, even when you get into cats from that's down south and everything, like, especially, like, New Orleans, Atlanta, like, the Soldieries, and I don't got nothing wrong with Reebok Classics. It's all about how you do it.
Yeah.
But there's just certain shoes that's just, like, hell nah. Like, I don't care how much they cost or what's the story behind them and all of that. I just can't really, like, I don't like it. Don't mean that I'm hating. So, Reebok Classics, I would definitely give, you know, I'm not upset with that. But the Cortezes, especially the satin joints, like, the nylons.
I hate the leathers.
Yeah, because those are so harsh. Like, the nylons, you can actually go on ahead and, like, you got a lot more wiggle room.
Yeah.
The leathers is like, but, you know, like, I got a fresh pair of Forrest Gump Cortezes right now that's dead stock that I'm still excited to wear whenever whenever the moment presents itself. I'll just be throwing shit on. I do, but not on, I got it, for a dead stock. I'm not about just...
Forrest,
he about to hit the Jenny. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That shit was a moment, but I'm not just about to throw those hoes on just to, you know, go to the mailbox.
That's so fucking crazy how a regular Nike Cortez shoe is just a regular... with the blue trimming, with a red swoosh, then turn into, now we calling them the fucking Forrest Gumps. Hey, ain't that some shit?
Iconic, but you know, that was the first one. Out of all of the Cortezes, that was the first one.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And Farrah Fawcett, you know, she did numbers in those too. So, like, they really, like, they tell a story. The Cortezes are the ones. But, man, this one right here, that was really nice. This New Balance 2002?
Yep. Rust Oxide. You know what? I'm here for it. I said cop.
I did. Woo!
You said cops other than the 574s?
I did say that.
Guys, for you guys that don't know, you know that's the only New Balance she wear though. So yes, I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna try to break her out of the shell.
I got some 994s, but at the same time, like,
yeah, but we gotta get you some 990s. Gotta get you some 998s.
If they come in this colorway, then we might be talking. But this colorway right here, and then that also, you guys already know the MB Nikki B. You know that's my whole get down. So I rock with New Balances. I don't want nobody to ever think anything different. But it's just the 574. It just speaks to your girl spirit. But no, these were really, really sick. I really love the outline on them, and we were almost at 100% on these on the cop.
Somebody
must have snuck in at the last minute and threw some drops in there. But the colorway on it, the rusted orange kind of tone.
And
the fits. It's really on time also for the fall. This is going to be really dope. I'm excited.
Red sweats, black sweats, yes. Blue jeans, if you ask me.
Okay. You're going to wear the dad jeans? You're going to wear the jean shorts?
Yeah, goddamn right. Okay, yes, that's going to be exciting. Absolutely. Because, I'm the jean shorts
with the polo shirt?
Not the polo shirt, okay? I ain't going that far.
With the Monarchs?
Yeah, no, I ain't going out like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, he said I got more style than that.
Yeah, I ain't going out like that, though, because, I mean, I'm already a weirdo when it comes to winter anyway, because I'm the type of nigga that I wear shorts with a hoodie or a crew neck with some tube socks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm one of those.
Okay,
so,
nah,
yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the different styles and everything that come out in the winter, if we ever get one, because
we're gonna get one. It's just hot right now. Like, we gotta get through this.
Hey, I'm hoping for it, because I got some shit to break out, and I'm really excited to do so. But whenever that moment comes, I've just been sitting there feeling like a kid ready for the first day of school with some of the shit I've been accumulating.
I'm gonna kill these niggas.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I showed you some of it. I was like, hey man, you see the mashup with the mashup.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, I've been low key shitting on my kids at my job though too.
They've been
hating me lately.
Okay. And that's the good thing about it. It's like when you work with kids and they appreciate you, it's like that's like another like plus on why I love what I do, because Miss Nikki, I love your shoes. You got so many shoes. Yeah, this. It's like they notice. They take the time. If I was working with adults, they'll sit there. I see you. If they say anything at all, but kids, they're not going to hold back on the compliments.
Yeah. One of my kids, I was walking down the hallway. Oh my God, Mr. Steven, you got on my favorite sixes. I was like, what? It's like, you wearing the Carmines. Oh, I didn't know you knew about these. Yeah, Mr. Stevens. So I'm, you know, playing it off I'm dumb, but I'm really not. You know, so it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know you knew about. Yeah, these are nice shoes. So I'm just saying to myself, yeah, nigga.
Still tapped in.
Yeah, nigga. I am not one of them old ass washed up dudes, okay? Not the old
still
ass washed up
still heavily tapped
daddy.
In with the culture.
Yes,
the
I
kids.
Am.
Yes.
Yes, I am. And yes. I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be in my 40s still tapped in. And my 50 still tapped in. Shit, nigga, fucking around. I'm going to be the next sneaker grandpa on this motherfucker.
Okay. Yes. A real one, though.
Yes,
a real one. Because I'm not taking anything away. But the dude that be dressing his grandpa and shit like that.
I like it, though.
I don't.
You don't like it?
Hell no. That shit seemed fake as fuck to me. It's like, does this nigga even know what he wearing? Because, like, especially when I be hating on that nigga. I do. I'll say, hey. I do. With the Patrice O'Neal. But hell no. Like, I'm serious. Like, don't get me wrong. I follow for a minute, and it's like, it's a line. I'm like, I like the what they put together and everything.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, it's just almost, it's like pretty much like having like a cute daughter and writing her raps for her and shit.
Right.
And she's saying so much like prolific shit and everything. And it's like, oh, how does she know she's ahead of her time? And it's like, oh, how does he know? It's like his grandson is fucking using him. Like, blink two
pretty
times,
much.
Grandpa, if you're in fucking trouble over there. Like, all these outfits. It's like, could you imagine this nigga just want to sit down and watch Price is Right?
Right.
And his grandson, hey, man, they love us on the Instagram. Grandpa,
right.
We got to get you dressed. Like, you know, so I was like, nah, man. I enjoy it, but, you know,
right.
At the same time, I want to see some.
Grandpa be smoking that dog.
But.
I really want to
see what Grandpa was wearing in his younger years. That's what I want to see. I want to see how Grandpa looked when he was dressing himself. Cause you just using your Grandpa as a dress up doll. That shit ain't cool, man.
Yeah, y'all forgive me. I had that song stuck in my head all day. It was even when I was at church, smoking that smoke, gang banging. Y'all ain't never seen that shit. That shit is fucking hilarious. Look up Smokey Robinson gang banging on YouTube. That shit is fucking hilarious.
I think everybody's seen that one. I would hope they have, man.
Man, look, you'd be surprised. Smoking that smoke.
Dude, I want you to stop. I'm trying to find a way to get you to stop before that shit gets stuck in my head. All right, on the next shoe. All right. This one actually, what is it? The Nike Dunk High Premium EMB World Champs?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. These actually just looks like a glorified a Panda High. With
another Panda High. Just with a fucking a little watch.
Right. That's what I got to say. Bottom. Like a little Rolex, a little bezel daddy on that fucking laser.
Right. Be like the niggas be in the club, like, you know, when they be wearing their belts, have the shirt tucked in just a little bit so you can see my Louis belt. Oh, yeah, this Gucci.
Yes.
Nigga, who cares?
It's definitely giving all those flares. Yeah. It's giving all those flares.
Oh, yeah, but I am in agreement with a lot of the people that took this poll. It was mostly a drop, and I'm with y'all on this one.
Yeah, It was definitely a drop.
Prices, I want to say, what's the price retailing at?
$135. And also another little sprinkle. I don't know how this might affect some of you guys' day, but Nike just announced that coming next year or the next fiscal year quarter, they're going to be going up $10 on a Dunk. I don't know if that's going to affect us in a sense of really making them just a little bit more accessible, because it's like kind of weeding out more people. But at the same time, $10 to a certain extent isn't going to make or break if you really, really want the shoe. But it will also, it will make Nike, because accumulatively getting $10 additional from everybody, that's going to be a really nice payout for them. So I'm just wondering what they're going to give us in return for this extra $10. So every bit counts. And yeah, that was something that Nike just announced the other day. So that was just pretty much, like I said, the Nike Dunk High is just pretty much a glorified Panda. And if you want it, you want it. You don't, you don't. No. Actually, this is a little bit worse, because it's not even all leather. It's actually suede.
Right. Hey, it is what it is. Welcome. Welcome. Fog them.
All right, all right. Moving on to the next. On to the next one.
You know what? I actually like this one.
I saw that.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. I like it.
They look good on feet. They do look good on feet. I just couldn't bring myself to it. I was like, you know, because at the same time with Kanye West, right? All right, and we're talking about the Adidas Yeezys 450 Stone Flax. The thing about Yeezy right now is that it's really, really hard. And fashion is always moving. This was something I wanted to say earlier. Yes. Fashion is always moving, right?
Yes.
So it's
to
be stuck with something that you paid hundreds of dollars with, and then that creator himself come out and start shitting on the product, that's like really, really fucked up. And it's like, okay, like, now, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's really important for you, for everybody that spends money and goes with fashion, that they have their own mind and they're not following the Joneses. But if you are following the Joneses and you actually go on ahead and purchase and buy into, you know, someone's likeness and someone's products and everything, and then the person, the creator themselves come out and says, fuck these guys, fuck those products, don't patronize that, and you got like fucking over thousands of dollars worth of this merchandise, that's a real fucked up place to be. Right. So
that's why all you stupid motherfuckers a couple years back when he was with Trump, y'all niggas started burning them shoes, you dumb fucks, and they all went up. Bunch of dummies.
Well, that, and then also the factor of, you know, like I said, it's just the point of we don't know where, you know, you don't know where the creator stands. You don't want to buy something and the creator themselves is actually sitting there and saying, oh, don't fuck with it, especially if you're buying it on the sole purpose of, you know, it coming from this specific person. So that kind of deal. But that wasn't my reservation on this particular shoe. My issue here was just the point of, I don't own one pair of Yeezys, so I don't I don't,
we gotta change that, I'm telling you.
Well, hey, everybody, it sounds like Steven's going to be, like, just really, like, you know, hooking your girl up with, like, a whole bunch of different, you know, shoes.
Man,
and
we
got to
change your life.
Like, nah.
To me, you be riding me like Oscar the Grouse from Sesame Street. I hate trash. I hate this. I hate that. Hate.
I like what I like.
I know you like what you like, though, but be open sometimes.
No, what do you mean?
Man?
I am open. I like Air Max. Air Max 1, 95s, 97s.
Everybody like Air Maxes.
Not everybody. And it don't matter what everybody like. I do different things. I do the whole classic Reeboks. I got a couple pairs of those. I do the Timbs in the winter. I have, you know, I have a closet of those.
It's just not,
you know, it's not just what meets the eye, but I just like what I like, and I'm a, you know, I live a Nike lifestyle, so that's just,
you definitely team Nike though, but yeah.
It's not no mistake.
We definitely ain't no fucking mistake though, but we gotta change that.
Let me like what I like over here, and you like what you like. I've never said nothing to you about your Adidas.
Hey, it don't matter because I'm open. If you don't like it, so what?
Okay, and I'm open too. I'm open to more Nikes. I'm open to seeing what more Nike, more Team Jordan, and what more of what they do.
Nikki remind me like a little kid in elementary. Like, oh, can I have a piece of your kindergarten? No, no, leave me alone. No.
Hey, man, it's no convincing me. I stand on what I stand on. I was like, I'm not about to just, like, I did the whole Adidas, like, the Samoas. No, the Samoas. I have a couple of pairs of Samoas.
Oh, no, yes.
I have Samoas. I just don't have Yeezys because it's like, again, now I'm not saying that anybody, like, because with yourself, you buy your shoes and you like your shoes and you go about it that way, right?
Yeah.
But imagine, like I said, being a person that's just hype beast out and went and bought into this whole Yeezy situation, and now all of a sudden, what, Yeezys aren't cool anymore? Like, coming to the playground with that, and it's like, you just really, like, it's like, hell no, I'm not about to go and, you know, follow all this shit. I'm not following this nigga like he got carrots in his ass, like...
I can't believe you just said that.
I'm not about to get my B-Rabbit on. Like, nah, hell nah. I like what I like. I wasn't fuck with Adidas like that beforehand. I ain't gonna fuck with them now. But you're also talking to a person that unpopular opinion. I'll wear motherfucking Adidas track pants with Nike shoes unapologetically.
And you know why? Y'all can get away with that shit. Niggas, we can't get away with that. Will we get talked about today?
There we go. But you like what you like.
But I get it. We like what we like, though. But I can't get away with that shit.
Yes, you can.
Hey.
Yes, you can. Hey. Yes, you can.
Another poll right now. My fellas out there, can we really get away with wearing Adidas pants with Nike shoes or even Jordans? Because the last time I checked, any person that does that, you're getting flagged and you're getting talked about real bad. So
by
yeah.
whom? Because honestly, like, nobody
everybody.
I don't give a fuck. It's like, I'm not sponsored by anybody. I just like what I like. And until Nike actually makes track pants that are as comfortable and as functional as Adidas, I will fuck with Adidas. And in honesty, even if Nike probably didn't make those track pants tomorrow, I probably still would fuck with Adidas, only because of the fact, not only is the fact that Nike actually did it, Adidas did it first, but it's also the factor of that that Adidas, they have the zippers on their pants and they're more functional. So I wouldn't, like, if Nike tried to go hop on Adidas track pants, their Toro pants, if they went on ahead and tried to hop on us, I still would fuck with Adidas, only because it's the fact of, hey, this was their wave. This is what they do. And I'm just saying, like, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I'm not just, it's not just about the factor of what's what on, like, oh, you know, I'm just this dedicated. It's like, hell no. Adidas pants make more sense. I like how they're tight at the ankle. I love the zippers. I love the zippers on the pockets. And Nike ain't giving none of that. Nike don't even give the ladies pockets. And it's like, yeah, I understand. Hey, we maybe don't need pockets. But, yeah, we do need pockets. Shit, you know.
No, yeah, I
enjoy
it.
Them. So I like pockets.
I know. I just like to give you a hard time.
No. It's all good. And the thing about it is that I can actually support absolutely all of my opinions. I'm not going to ever just tell you I don't like something just because I don't like it. I'm always going to have a reasoning, and I'm always going to be able to articulate why I do not like something.
Okay.
Or why I do.
Wingstop, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, you talking to me right
now? Yes, I'm talking to you. Wingstop, Buffalo Wild Wings.
I prefer Wingstop.
Prefer Wingstop?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
I prefer Wingstop. I like their accessibility. I love the fact that I can, their lemon pepper hits a little bit harder. I like my women. I like my lemon pepper dry. I don't like it wet. But Buffalo Wild Wings is pretty dope. You said Buffalo Wild Wings, right?
Their sauces are good.
Buffalo Wild Wings is dope in the sense that you can sit down and have a drink. But Wingstop on a Wednesday, getting the food, you know, coming off from work, it's Wingstop all day. All
right, one more.
What's that?
Hamburger Hut or Boston Pizza? Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but it's going to be Hamburger Hut. I've been to Boston Pizza. Okay, do what you got to do.
Oh, my God.
Do what you got to do.
but I'm with you, though. I mean, it's both North or nothing, man.
They're both fucking good, though.
But I'm not going to lie. I do like Boston a little bit better because Boston has that accessibility. You know, you out one, two in the morning, maybe three, you drunk, You want some food? You want some wings or some fingers? You go right up in there and go get you some. That's the only thing I miss about Hamburger being open late like that. Now, you got to catch these motherfuckers before 8 o'clock. You know?
Well, you got to actually, like with Hamburger Hut, though, too, you got to think, like, you know, them being a product of the environment and everything else that kind of comes along from that area. But, you know, like, as far as the French fries, and I feel like I told you this, too, like, when your wings hit the fries, or the chicken fingers hit the fries, and the sauce is on those fries, it's like it's just an unmatched type of situation.
And if everybody knows me, that really know me, they know I'm King Frenchie. So yeah, French fries are my thing, and they French fries are smacking. And for y'all, our listeners don't know, this is a wing stop where we're from here in Vegas called Hamburger Hut. It's dope. And so if you ever visit Vegas, I highly you guys come here and check it out. Wings,
maybe
fire.
Or maybe not. Yeah, it really is in a hood.
Yeah, it's really in a hood though, but it's not that bad. It's really not that bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah. No, it's not that bad. But also, like, you know, I'm not about to just send it to you. I'm not about to just tell you to go to Hamburger Hood.
Just
if that shit is the MGM, I'm going to let you know know that it is a spot. You're a lot safer at Boston Pizza.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right. Let's get into these albums. First up, J.I.D. Forever. Story, I ain't going front. Great fucking listen. I enjoyed this album beginning to end. Like, really, really beginning to end. And even, like, you know, just from the features and just from the takes and just from the standpoint. I loved the opener. The intro was cool. And then from that to Radar, Dance Now, Crack Sandwich, Can't Punk Me Now, which was one of my favorites with Earth Gang. Surround sound. Yeah. 21 Savage killed that. I ain't even front. He did it. Yeah, he did his thing. And even going down with Stars with Yasmin Bey, aka Mos Def.
Right.
Justin Tom, Wayne. Yeah, he's been on a tirade
now. He's been in his bag.
Yeah, he's been on a tirade like right now. And that was just it for me. Out of the 15, I really enjoyed about a solid 10. It was a few that I didn't like though, but I mean, out of 15, a solid 10, in my opinion, for me, that's not bad at all.
Oh, hell yeah. That's still a passing grade. I liked Brother Nim with a Lil Durk also, but my top three favorite songs was actually Stars with Mos Def, Yasiin Bey, also Just in Time with Lil Wayne. I enjoyed those were like my top three, but then also like the Crack Sandwich and with the story around it, like with the sister and everything.
Oh yeah,
and just kind of like, you know, going through that, I really enjoyed it thoroughly. JID, he's one of those, like I said, like he's definitely next up, and I was really happy to see that this project had dropped because we were talking about him a couple of months ago, when Steve was going in on his Dreamville bashing and everything on how they weren't dropping projects, and then they dropped the project, and you know, here we are now. So I'm really happy that they went on ahead and did this for us, especially by one of my favorite artists. You know, we also have like we had the Earth Gang, we had the Ari Lennox collaborations on this project also. So ultimately, like, I definitely would highly recommend it. It was really one of my favorite albums this week. You know, it actually might end up making my list at the end of the year, but we still got some more, you know, time to go, so we'll see.
Right. So you guys, if you haven't, go ahead and check it out. JID, the never ending, the forever story.
Right, the forever story.
Because he does have a project called the never
ending. He does. Yeah, that's why forever. It's important too.
All right, moving on. Next up, the Houston native, underground upcoming rapper, Sean the God, with the EP, The Most High. You know what? And I ain't going front. This actually really surprised me. And I actually enjoyed this thoroughly.
Okay.
It was five tracks, short, simple, and sweet, but
14 minutes.
Yeah, 14 minutes, but he was getting straight to the points, and I love the production on here, and even just his lyricism, like, was amazing on this project. And from the intro, the opener, Salah, Champagne, Let's Move, though, but the one that really, really got me was this one, The Update. Update was just super dope, where the beat here just switched up.
strange places with familiar faces. Cali Mountains, let me get it, baby. Knew my nigga how to flight the cad. Chase on your trip and get the whip back. I ain't fucking really nothing, never frontin'. Been my nigga since the Big Mac. We stole a whip, get the fucking sauce. We ain't know we have the fucking.
Hey, you know what, though? That just lets you know. Honestly, like, people always cry about, you know, people not doing more lyricism. There's no bars. Well, here you go. There's a person that's giving you bars, giving you lyrics. And what's so crazy, he's from Houston.
Yes.
Let that sink in. He's from Houston. So, I mean.
And it was really refreshing because of the fact, like you said, he is from Houston. And it wasn't what you're traditionally used to hearing from Houston. I really enjoyed the production. I love the In Too Deep, you know, kind of breakouts in the project. Also, like, just the theme of it all and the fact that how he structured it and how authentic his lyrics were, just with the different things that he had went through in life. And it just really, like, it sent me home. So I enjoyed the entire 14 minutes. I probably listened to it, like, probably, like, 5 times.
Yeah, me too.
But it was really nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So you guys go ahead and check that project out by Sean the God. And it is called The Most High EP. You know, so with Sean, $S#HUN. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. Like, this dude is really on his grind and really doing his shit. So, I mean, you guys definitely, y'all checking for the shit that we checking for, you won't be disappointed from this project at all. All right, moving on. This one caused a lot of controversy this week, especially on my behalf because everybody was so pissed off about what I said, though. But fuck it. We're going to get into this shit anyway. DJ Khaled, God did. All right. 18 tracks, 57 minutes. The album can't front. It was a little bit better than the last two albums.
Was, absolutely. It's not even a front on that.
Yeah, like, definitely.
He did not give us that top 40. Yeah,
absolutely. Standout tracks, God Did. We'll definitely get into that in a minute. Uses Gospel with Ye, Eminem, Dr. Dre producing, Big Time with Future, Lil Baby, Keep Going, which is actually my favorite on this joint, because Lil Durk was chopping. He was doing this thing for sure. Party with the fucking Eddie Murphy and Rick James.
Okay, yeah, Quavo and Takeoff.
Yeah, of course, The Staying Alive, Beautiful with Future and SZA, It Ain't Safe, Let's Pray, Fam, We Good, Bills Paid, Way Past Luck, These Streets Know My Name, Juice WRLD Did It, The Jadakiss Interlude, you know, and going down into the last track, Grateful, Vori. So, I mean, out of 18, for me, I took about, like, 7 of them, honestly, like, really, really 7 of them. And, and of course, I did take the God Did, because I actually liked it, Wayne's verse on there. Wayne's verse was fucking incredible, but the highlight of the fucking week, oh my God, what everybody said, Jay-Z's verse of the year, lyric of the year. You know how I feel about that? No, it's not verse of the year. It was average at best. Did I catch all the entendres? Yes, I did. We know he got money. We know he talking about people that had passed, dead rappers, this and that. I caught everything where he's talking about how people putting on a fake mask and whatever and whatnot, though. But y'all to say, like, you know, this is verse of the year, like, come on, bro. Y'all can't do that. And let's just be honest, though. Most of the niggas that was really arguing, that was going on my head about this shit, it was mostly all niggas that's in their 30s and up. Because niggas in their 20s and niggas below that, they're not checking for Jay. Let's just be honest about that. They're not really not checking for Jay. Yes, is Jay a GOAT? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm never going to take that away from him. For niggas that's trying to say that I hate on Jay. And if you really listen to the show and the podcast show I did, one of my classic corners from Jay was Life and Times of Sean Carter, Volume 3. And that's one of my favorite Jay-Z albums next to the Black Album. But the verse for me, I'm just going to be honest. Like, it wasn't trash, but it was just average at best. And that's how I feel about it. You know, like, he got his shit off, of course. Like, really, really got his shit off. And the nigga actually really said he cheated because he stopped, did a one take, and then And then in his second take, he ran all the way through, because he did say that. So, I mean, for y'all to say, oh, he went all the way through, he really didn't. The nigga really actually went on there and said, like, he cheated on this shit. So, it is what it is. So, I mean, that's all I have to say about it. Personally, everybody ripped it. I like Wayne's verse, because Wayne was just really, in his verse, really much saying how, like, he influenced a whole bunch of rappers, and he did. A lot of these niggas from Juice WRLD, the late great Juice WRLD, Dirt, the Babies, and all these niggas, that's all Wayne. Wayne influenced a whole rap culture, like, for real. Like, Jay done his thing, though, but when it's GOAT talk, though, like, Wayne did really influence a lot of niggas.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean.
You got enough of the Ron Burgundy flack in your inbox and everything.
I did.
On why you say these things, why these things come out your mouth. So there's not really, you know, too much more to add on to it. It's, you know, about 2 weeks now at this point.
Right.
But ultimately, like, I really did enjoy the verse. I did. Yeah, I did enjoy what Jay had to say. And it's just the point of elevation. It's the point of, like you had said, he had, you know, on the pound cake. With Drake, he's like, you know, Lior made millions, Jay made millions, Beans would tell you if he wasn't in his feelings. So it's like, okay, yeah, he's kind of had this, but it was so dope to actually see the elevation that, yeah, they've made millions, but now they've made billions. And that, like, you know, that, the elevation there. And then also one of the reasons why, like, I had to go on ahead and, you know, take my hat to the verse also is just simply because of the fact that we have so many artists that just sits there and constantly, like, want to relish back into, like, going back into the good old days when they so dope, or the struggle and things like that. What I appreciated with everything that Jay was saying is that it was current and it was relatable to the things that he's going through right now. Is it relatable to the average person?
No, these aren't
the average person's problems, but, and, you know, that kind of goes along too when you're addressing the masses. But then at the same time, it's like just the fact of being able to show and to be that representative and to be that symbol of elevation is just amazing. And like, I can't do nothing but appreciate that, to appreciate the fact that he has elevated and he deserves everything, you know, he deserves to be able to say these things. And it's not like he comes out every fucking week with a gloat trap, you know, track like that, like in the sense of, like, maybe, you know, the more current ones that's just shoving, I'm rich, you're poor, you know, and that's minute shit. But I'm just saying, he's not doing this on a consistent basis. So the fact that he did that in the entire time, like you said, he, you know, it was a break there, but I was like, damn, is this nigga gonna breathe? Like, he just kept on going and kept on going and kept on going. And I understand that it's one of those things too, that it doesn't matter what people, you know, when it comes, when certain things come from certain people, it's really difficult to, like, really get an honest read on it, because everybody's going to just, you know, clap and cheer just because it came from this particular source.
Oh, yo, Jay-Z, oh, my God.
They're gonna, because it came from this particular source.
Come on, y'all.
But
come on, y'all.
I'm going to sit here and say that it was well-deserving, and you know, that fucking best part of the album, personally, to me. On this album, Khaled did actually do something that he hasn't done since Major Keys, in my opinion, with the fact that he did not go just hardcore top 40. Because after Major Key, he just went top 40. Like, what was it, Assad, the Grateful, or whatever.
Yeah, Assad, the Great, yeah.
Yeah, whatever came after, everything that came after Major Keys was just strictly to try to hit Billboard. At least with this one, he actually did put more club songs on it. Did I take absolutely damn near anything away from it? No, I didn't. Is it something that I'm going to, you know, be upset about listening to later on? No, I'm not. I'm not going to be upset with the fact of, hey, being in the right setting and hearing these tracks or whatever. But, you know, I'll just personally, like, you know, Khaled himself at times is a little bit much to kind of deal with. So that's more or less what it is, rather than anything else. But ultimately, this project wasn't, you know, it wasn't his worst project that I've gotten. Like I said, the best one that I've gotten in the last few years was Major Key. And this is actually coming, you know, for it to come after Major Key, you know, salutes to Khaled and all the production and everything that they're, you know, trying to do over there. They got that Jadakiss track, even the Sweetie track, you know, like all of that shit on there. On the album, it wasn't bad. It wasn't, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I see what he's doing on here. It was just a point on, like you said, it's just a lot of people and just the over like, I'm not gonna say expectations, but just the fact of just like kind of overdoing it a little bit. And it was more so from Khaled. So I'm gonna say that. But Jay came in the studio, he got busy, so you know.
Yeah, he did. And like what I said, like for me, all this, the couple of the tracks were dope though, but I'm just, and I stand on that, like really, like it was really one track really fucking overshadowed the whole album, and that's how I felt about it. It's pretty sad at that point if you ask me though, but y'all was saying that, oh, like he did it in one take. Like going back to what I said, he did it
in one take.
But niggas try to make it seem like he was the only person who ever did that.
He did it then though.
Let me recollect before it was him who did all his music in one take. Y'all must forgot, and his name is Pac. Pac did All Eyes on Me.
Okay, but we're talking about Jay-Z right now.
No,
talk about Pac.
I hate the fact y'all try to make it seem like Jay-Z is the first. Jay-Z did this first.
Who said he was the first?
Man, when I said what I said, niggas went on a tirade on me talking about, oh, I'm a hater. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Jay-Z was the first. Jay was not the first. Jay has done it, but he wasn't the first. Y'all gotta stop this.
Okay, like, but did he do it bad this time, though?
Like I said, it was average. Personally, to me, I like his neck and wrist verse on Push-Ups better than this.
Really?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot more better than this, because to me, I just felt like him going the way long he did, he wanted to get his shit off, because who knows? I'm just saying this. Who knows? Maybe he got a hold to Ross first and Wayne and heard what they say, and he was like, oh, I can't let these two niggas outdo me. And then the fucked up part of the song, they put John Legend in the back.
That was the worst part. I get so tired of hearing, like, but no.
That was
like,
terrible.
No, I'm not going to, like, to compare or, like, go, like, on the fact of, like, shit, it was something that's like, okay, well, you know, going back to the Bronx and fucking hip-hop and who was b-boying and all that shit. Like, I'm not going to go through the history line. I'm going to talk about what Jay did right here, and he murked that verse.
Well, that wasn't no murk. That was all right. That was all right. Like, okay. Yeah, but y'all
Steven
niggas,
don't
yeah.
believe, but God did.
Who cares?
I'm just fucking with you.
I know you are.
I'm just fucking with you because
I've been fucking with you this whole episode. It's all good.
But sincerely, I really do think that people have
their opinions. The only thing that upsets me when people are so very opinionated, it makes them feel like you can't say this. You can't say nothing bad. No, it is somebody's opinion. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. It is what it is.
It's also the fact that you got to be able to understand and kind of move with the tides. I'm not saying just with this particular one, but I'm just saying, like, I'm one to say it, like, what the fuck, like, was Larry saying on this track, or what was, you know, so-and-so saying on this track? It's like, to understand that there are moments where maybe your favorite artist doesn't, you know, do their best. And that's understandable, but I expect everybody to just really have a standard of holding a level of accountability, you know, regardless as to how much you like somebody or whatever the case may be. And I'm not just referring to, like, I'm really actually not even referring to Jay-Z right now. I'm referring to, like, a lot of the shit that goes on in the media with, like, Kanye West and all these different people kind of, like, not holding a level of accountability there, or like, oh, you know, he could do or say whatever he wants. And it's not just him, it's just the point of everything, you know.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So y'all go ahead and check out DJ Khaled. God did, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is, you know what I'm saying? Here, you know, she got her take, got mine. So I mean, hey, that's what hip hop is, you know what I'm saying? We both may like it. One may like it, one may don't. So it is what it is. So,
all right. Yeah. And it's about that time. They're going ahead and get into the classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. Man. Nikki,
Yeah.
I just want to say, great fucking pick with this classic corner.
Man, you know, this one was definitely an easy pick for me. I was really happy to see that, of course, you know, it wasn't picked on any of the previous classic corners. But let's go on ahead and get into it. We're going to take you back to August 27th, 1996, to be exact. And this is none other than Outkast, AT-Aliens. All right. This album is just so near and dear to not only myself, but I'm sure everyone else. Just well, this is Outkast's sophomore album coming off of Southern Playalistic Cadillac.
Cadillac music.
That always turns into a tongue twister for me, so I always just stop at the Southern Playalistic, but I tried to go all the way there, and thank you, Steve. All right, but yes, so like coming into the second album, the sophomore album, AT-Aliens, where we were just kind of introduced, like we had that whole player vibe from the first album, but this album just really like cemented Outkast as a figure.
Absolutely.
And just let us know that the South really does have something to say at this point. I really enjoyed absolutely every track on here. One of my personal favorites on this is The Wheels of Steel, just because like just how it comes off, like Big Boy comes in and they
as I sit in my B-boy stance.
Yes. Yes.
Sweatpants and flip says.
Yes.
Let me enhance your brain. Oh man. And you know what's so crazy too? Before we even digest into the albums and the tracks, I hear when it comes to Outkast catalog, a lot of people argue this album and Aquemini, but personally my favorite, this is my favorite out of their catalog. Like out of all their albums that they did, from Stank On Ya, Speaker Box, Love Below, Aquemini, Southern Playlist, Cadillac Music, this is my favorite Outkast album. The reason why this is favorite, and the same way this holds a sentimental value to you, holds a sentimental value to me, because when my dad had bought the AT-Aliens, he bought the single on tape, and this song Wheels of Steel, he kept this motherfucker in rotation.
I'm telling you, this
fucking
rotation.
Not
long ago. Like, just the whole storytelling aspect on it. And then it's like two dope boys and a Cadillac. It's just every track on this one, I don't really think that there is anything that I would say take off. Maybe some of the like the intro or something like that, but even down to the intro, they came in and straight got straight
man,
to
they
it.
Got
like,
to
it. So we got Elevators, Me and You, Your Mama and Your Cousin too on this project. We got fucking Babylon on here,
Jazzy Bell,
like oh my gosh, Extraterrestrial, Out of This World,
right.
You know, like we were able to get a whole different feel of Outkast and just the factor of just how just. That the South definitely has something to say. That we are like hip hop in general, just switching the dynamics. Because at this time, if you guys know anything, this is at the time of like coming off from All Eyes on Me, West Coast Dominating,
yes.
Fucking Biggie, you know, just everything. So like it was really pivotal, and they definitely did that with this project on actually putting that flag. And you know, we had got stuff from Atlanta, but just really like submitting the fact that the South definitely has something to say. If there was ever a project, this would be the project. And like I said, like this is really one of my favorites. If I had to say my actual favorite, my favorite, it would be Aquemini. But AT-Aliens is definitely come second to, you know, Aquemini for me. But I definitely want to kick it off and go in chronological order. So, you know, here we are. And thank you again on behalf of myself and Lace Rhymes. I really, really appreciate you, Steve, for allowing me to have this moment and really express my gratitude for this project.
Absolutely. And like what you said, a lot of the standout tracks for me, well, fuck it, ain't no standout, man. I played this motherfucker beginning to end, and I still do. So, I mean, like with you, man, thank you so much for picking this album. And, you know, for our young listeners, man, if y'all don't know, like, really, Peep Game, listen to this album. This, like so much knowledge and just so much you can just grab from and learn from this album. Just them just elevating themselves just as artists. Big Boy and Dre 3000 just super just elevating from when we had first heard them on Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music. And like with this, they just totally took a different approach. And then not too long ago, I want to say this year was the 25th anniversary of the album, like of celebrating it being out for 25 years. So I mean, this album, this just lets you know it stands the test of time. Is it a top 10 hip-hop album of all time? Yes. Possibly a top five. Mm-hmm. Honestly, mm-hmm. like, no matter how you look at it, though. But, I mean, Nicki, once again, my dog.
Yes,
my
yes.
girl. Yes. Yo, you did that. So, now I got to step my game up next week.
Oh, well, like, as I said before, you've never disappointed us, so I'm really excited to see what you pull out next week. We did not get to it today, but next week it will be Steven's turn to go on ahead and do the unboxing.
Yes, yes,
he's going to
yes.
hit us with a double whammy next yes, week with yes, the unboxing yes. as well as the classic corner. But, you know, again, this is always love. It's always, you know, it's always a labor of love. So, shoot, this is me signing off. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Steve, for allowing me to have this opportunity to come in again and express my gratitude and talk my shit for the culture.
Man, you already absolutely. know you my girl. And a bag of pearls, dog.
Hey. Even though when God did it, so you know,
whatever, man. Y'all go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and we're all on audio platforms: SoundCloud, Apple, iHeart, Google, and now YouTube. So go ahead, follow us, rate, subscribe, tell a friend that tells a friend
that tells another friend.
If you like what we saying, leave us a comment. If you think some of the shit that we say is outlandish, leave us a comment. So, you know, either way, leave us a fucking comment and we're gonna show y'all some love back. Alright
though, all right.
Yeah, but until then, this is your boy Skeeter Steve
and Nicki B.
Lace Rums, we out.